My throat is tightening up. I don't know why. But it's, last time it happened like this, I ate some mesquite years ago when I was on a business trip. It really tightened up. It was interesting, the church that night I went to. They couldn't hardly understand me. All right. You have your lessons. You see 14 lessons. I'm going to assume that all the pages are in it because we did a pretty good job of putting it together. But there could be a page missing. There it goes. I've got them numbered. One page didn't make it, so we kind of put like a, it was 24, I think, 24 and 24-1. So, and it's an almost identical page to what Rocky has in his book. Interesting how it works out. Welcome each other. Sorry I wasn't here Sunday, but we'll start today. I got a few things to say. There's 14 lessons. I guess we've got like 24, 25 classes left. And the 14 lessons, we'll run them in succession, but it won't be one per week or one per day. We'll just kind of run through it. So be aware of it. Okay, we just, when we do it, we do it. We're going to go through them, and there's going to, you'll see 10 questions at the end of each one of the 14 lessons. And those 10 questions, we're going to go through those. Those are really good sets of questions, too, to help you review the whole chapter, or group of chapters, as it may be. So they're really good to do those. Those will help you quite a bit. Quite a bit. Look at those. And be aware, too, it also asks you for words, or what the answer is, but also what verse you found it in, or chapter and verse. So it helps you, too. Okay? And I tried to get it, too, about key words. When you look at the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of words that from version to version change. A lot of them change. It may mean the same thing, but a little difference. So I tried to hit some of those words to help you find those particular verses on the questions. let's see. It may be helpful to read the 31 chapters of Proverbs. More than helpful. They're definitely the ones that we're going through or going to possibly go through on that session or the next session. Because, again, we're going to go straight through. Yeah. So read those. It was interesting. I was reading some other papers on it. And years ago, and maybe your practice today, that people valued Proverbs so much that on the months that had 31 days in it, guess what they did each day? They read chapter 1, chapter 2, as a good reminder to do that. It was interesting. And that may be a good thing to think about, too. You definitely must read it, be familiar with it. Let's see. It may be helpful to mark. Definitely want to write on your paper, whatever you want to do. But I've got some CDs over here with the New American Standard, the Bible, all the 31 chapters of Proverbs on it. So if you want those, you could print them out if you want to, okay? Or I could print them out for you if you want. The idea of marking on it's really good because there's such a variety when you get to Proverbs of those different verses, and make notes you want to come back to and think about. So be aware of that. If you want those, I got it. Now, also, the questions, those in a digital format, I'll have some of those on Sunday. I've got them in a couple of different piles, so I'm going to try to get them together. Okay? Those down. If you want before then, I can certainly get them to you. Let's see. I made the folders big enough that you have that, in fact, if you printed out the whole 31 Proverbs on a single side of paper, that it all fit inside your book. So it's available there, space if you need it. It's good sometimes if you're working here and it starts chapter 3, then you have chapter 3 sitting over here. You punch the hole on the other side. Try to get it in that way. Or in the back. let's see. If you miss a class, call me before the class. If you know your reason for being not here or something happened. Because If there's an illness or something, we want to pray about that. We want to put you in our prayers in class in case there's something going on in your life or an illness or something. And also, the idea of staying up, too, is good, because I may call you after that if you're not here to let you know where we're at, because if you're going straight through, it's good to know where we're at. And try to keep up with that. And again, you can ask each other, too. That's fine, too. We can keep up with that. That's really good. We have 14 lessons. And a lot of times when Proverbs are covered, they may do it topically. And that's good, because if you know Proverbs, there's a lot of topics in there. But what may happen to you if you do it topically, you may miss one or two Proverbs that don't quite fit in, or you won't have time for. So I thought about in this class just running straight through. We're going to go from chapter 1, 2, 3, right on through every verse. So in this class, we're going to cover every verse. Sometimes the verses within a chapter, you know, a few of those verses will be on one topic, and that'll be, you know, it's a little unit. There's some of that, but not a whole lot of that. So we'll do that. But the aim is to go through these 14 lessons, beginning to end, verse by verse, or group of verses by verses. If we have time afterwards, I've got some other lessons set where we can do some study, you know, specific topics. So we can always, no problem about that. But the way it's going, we'll just see how it works out. Okay? Any questions? Now, with this class, the size it is, there's a lot of experience in here and some comment. And especially when we start talking about Proverbs. You know, there's some principles of life, a lot of things in Proverbs. And there's things in here we can talk about, share those experiences, and glean from it. There may be things that come up in your life that, you know, you want to talk about. We can certainly do that. We have a diversity of experience in here, but it's not going to be a diversity of interpretation. But we have a diversity of experience. We want to share that with one another, especially these things that affect us in life, coming from the, you know, the wisdom of Proverbs. With that in mind, that's the older to teach the younger, or sometimes younger teach the older too. It's an opportunity in this class to teach one another on that, especially with these principles we'll lay out. We're recording the class, and you're free to say what you want in the class. Yeah, I want that to happen. I will too. But if there's things that, man, let's don't put that into posterity. You know, we can edit that out, do something with it. So I'll talk to Wally about that. It shouldn't be a problem at all. And even things I may want to edit out that I said. But definitely ask during class or after class or even later, you know, a week later, something like that. If you want to do that, that's fine, okay? Let's see, because we never know. If we're doing a class and we're in chapter 1 or chapter 2 and all of a sudden we're in chapter 3 or 4 and something happened in your life that might have you particularly had remembered in chapter 1 or 2 or something, principle or something that gives some wisdom in your life, and it's come up later. No, I don't see any problem somewhat going back to that and say, hey, no, this happened to me, and I had a chance to apply this proverb, this principle. And it's getting warm now. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. So, I got no problem going back and catching that. Okay, I want to do something. I think that's good to do. That way we can see that the wisdom of God's Word is applied. Okay? That's some wisdom. Definitely will impact our lives. Let's see. So we've applied it. Now, let's see. Again, we have the 14. Now, I put there some titles in there on the 14 lessons. And those are, you know, if you look at a lot of way people have done it, had a lot of commentaries and lessons for people. And, you know, it's almost as many different proverbs that you have, as many different ways to put proverbs together, teach it. And so these 14 are general titles. And there, you know, you can, there's some opportunity, you know, in there for movement of those words. And definitely you'll see when the Proverbs are grouped together that the titles, you know, will apply. And some may be, where do you get this? Okay? But generally they'll apply some verses in there. So it's trying to put some order, you know, to this. Let's see. By no means do I... I'm going to know or interpret every proverb. Well, I know it perfectly. But with this group in here, if we have problems, we'll certainly discuss it and go over it. Sometimes in reading a lot of different people's ideas on different proverbs, you get some that say, well, this is, there were three choices on this one, and this is the best one I can come up with, you know, as far as an idea of what it's saying, what it's talking about, the application of it. So it's interesting, but there's very few like that. I imagine, I counted the verses in these 31 chapters, and it's around 950 verses. So I would imagine maybe 10 of them are like that. They kind of have this idea of a multiple kind of track on them. So it's interesting. So let's see. Lesson one. Anything so far? Anything you have to add? Anytime. Proverbs. I'm going to kind of talk about the right now the value of Proverbs, and it's interesting. I'll be reading some. What is the value of Proverbs? Why should we study it? How many value in our lives? My throat's hurting. I'm doing okay, I guess. All right. So, I begin here that knowledge is important in our society. And concerns for a good education are natural and satisfying. But there's more in life than just an education. God has provided from old this book of Proverbs, well, it's the other books, but definitely the book of Proverbs. It can teach us things beyond secular knowledge. It can teach us those things that we can apply in everyday life. And that's what Proverbs is about. A few ideas here. To kind of put the perspective on it, that it is impossible for any person or whatever classification to read the book of Proverbs without profit or success or value. It's impossible to read it if you read it through. There's things in there that are going to profit you in life. That will make you more of a person to be around, more person to seek advice from, one that you can live your lives better. Fathers, mothers, sons, kings, rulers, daughters, wives, husbands, neighbors, employers, employees. There's benefit in the Proverbs for everyone. Everyone. And you can drink of this because it's practical wisdom. Practical wisdom. Everyday wisdom. And in these verses, God is our teacher. Even though we're going to say Solomon wrote some, and King Lemuel, and all this sort of thing, some wise men, we'll get to that. But God is the author of everything we have. In the Proverbs. We need to remember that. Proverbs is the oldest, most authoritative book on ethics in all the world. It's a moral book. It teaches morals. More than anything, it does. Of course, you've got, you know, violence in there, and you've got ideas of laziness. A lot of it's treating one another well. The idea of the value of wisdom and morals and all those things when you enter relationships one to another. So it produces a lot of moral and ethical presentations in it, and we need to be aware of that as we go through. It's designed to guide the reader's daily choice. You make choices every day in how you relate to other people, whether you're in business, husbands, wives, how you react to other people that you come, that you meet, temporarily or permanently, friends, all that sort of thing. So it's daily choices is where Proverbs is applied. And some interesting points about Proverbs. You'd think in Proverbs that there's things in there that are not in there. One is there's existence of God is in the Proverbs. It gives a lot of responsibilities. It tells you that you have one to another. It talks about the rewards for righteousness. And I guess the rewards for wickedness too, for doing what's right and wrong. It talks about punishment and reward for wickedness, righteousness. And there's a lot of optimism, too, inside the book of Proverbs. That's a value in life, and we need to think about that. There's some things that are ignored, too, in Proverbs, which makes it the general thing to practice in daily life for all people, the application. Things are not mentioned in Proverbs. Israel is not mentioned. Interesting. The law of Moses is not mentioned. The great religions of the day or political events in Hebrew history are not mentioned, as you see in the other books. Anything about the temples, not mentioned. The priesthood is not mentioned. Prophets by name are not mentioned except Solomon. Call him a prophet. And idolatry is not mentioned. Interesting. Okay. So that's unlike a lot of the other books that we have in the Old Testament. Okay. But still, beyond that, it's got application to everyone of all ages and all times. That's why there's some value in it today. Some people say, well, what is a proverb? Well, some people boil it down to the idea that it's a short sentence concerning wisdom. And we'll talk about the idea of wisdom and knowledge and the application of that. Proverbs are short sentences drawn from long experience. They are lessons in life. And this is interesting, the Proverbs has three qualities. There's a shortness to it, and a sense to it, okay? Salt to it, okay? They're short, they make sense, and salt is the idea of what? Okay? Season you, okay? The idea that add flavor to life or separate things or whatever you want to do. Preserve life, but there is that. So, Proverbs are of value to us in this life. Now, again, daily choices. Helps us in our daily choices. I try to, in this book, if it stands alone by itself, your lessons, that as we go through the verses, it's kind of a commentary interpretation of each verse or each group of verses. So it may be helpful, you know, in later life, or keep around if you want to look at Proverbs later on to do that. I didn't bring it with me, but I've got some other papers that groups the Proverbs, you know, by their topics and that sort of thing. So I can bring that with me if somebody wants that. I think it's 6 or 7 pages long. It groups that way, which is interesting to study. So Proverbs, value to us. Now, who wrote Ecclesiastes?
Solomon.
Yep. But who wrote Proverbs?
Solomon.
Who wrote Psalms?
David.
All of it?
No.
Okay.
Mostly.
So I've kind of got that into kind of a permanent memory now, that about half of the Psalms for David. When we look at Proverbs here, we're going to see that out of the 31 of those Proverbs, about 4.5 of them are not by Solomon. 4.5 of them. Half of the individuals see that. But no less valuable to us when you read some of the literature. Well, you know, those guys were not prophets. They weren't really named, or they never heard of them again. Well, I don't know if it's biblical or not, or scripture. Well, it was. You'll see in these groups that written by the wives and that sort of thing that they're requoted in the New Testament. Validity there. And also, as time went by, they're no less recognized in Scripture, valid and inerrant. So let's keep, that shouldn't be a problem with that. We'll see, and it all section attributed to God. We'll see Solomon wrote some, Agur wrote some of the mule. So I hope I pronounced that right. And then a group of scriptures is by the wise. The wise did it. Now, as we go through this, I want to open up some scripture too. And my second point there, I guess we could look at that. I know Let's look at 22:17 a second. I want to establish this. Okay, 22:17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your mind to my knowledge. Hear the words of the wise there is universally accepted, but that's a transition point, that there's another, these are from another source here, other than Solomon. And it also continues into the same idea in 24:23. The also there seems to tie together. These also are sayings of the wise. You show partiality in judgment is not good. And that seems to bookend those. And that kind of, that's why I get to them. There's 2.5 chapters in there that seem to be from the wise. And then we know 30 and 31 are from Agur and King Lemuel. It definitely says in the first verses of those in 30 and 31. 30 is the words of Agur, the son of the oracle. And in 31 is the words of King Lemuel, the oracle that his mother taught him. So it seems to have the authors there. So basically we've got Solomon, these wise men, wise people, Agur and King Lemuel, as authors throughout this book. In that part two there, Solomon ruled in Israel from 961 to 922. And he was wiser than all before him. How did he get so wise?
God gave it to him.
Did he ask for it?
Great. Mm-hmm.
Why did he ask for it?
He
was young.
He wanted to rule wisely.
Mm-hmm. He recognized the great responsibility as a young man, okay, to rule wisely with God he granted him. And God recognized, and God granted it to him because he didn't ask for riches and wealth and all that sort of thing and fame, which a lot of us, you know, might do, especially if you're a king or so. And but he asked for that, and God granted that to him. Showed some wisdom right there, didn't it? And where his heart was in those days. And if someone in 1 Kings, if someone's there or not. But deal with 1 Kings 4:32 for me a minute. Anybody can read it here if you wish.
He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,000 and 5.
Okay. So it says here that it's an even number, but Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. Even though I said there, I got 950 verses or so, and these 31 here, I didn't back out those other 4.5 chapters. But it's been estimated in the books that there's an entire Bible. Solomon's Proverbs are only 500. So it's interesting that there's still over 2,000 out there that, you know, didn't make permanent literature if this is 3,000 Proverbs. So that's just a matter of an idea for you for that. But he says 3,000 Proverbs. Number three.
Doug,
yes, ma'am.
I find it interesting, you know, you're back there talking about Solomon in 1 Kings 3. You know, it talked about him asking for that. But his attitude is what you see. You know, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. And up above there it says, thou hast made thy servant king, and I'm just a little child. You know, I do not know how to go in and go out. And over in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Mm. And so he feared the Lord. He reverenced that. And so, you know, and then he's asking for knowledge, and the Lord gives it to him. And here in Proverbs, if you don't have, I mean, you can read Proverbs all you want to, there's just going to be a bunch of words on a page. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, he was talking about what he did. you're not going to gain the knowledge and the discernment.
And it's exactly right. This idea of fear of the Lord is in 1:7, 9:10, and there's other places also it appears in Proverbs. This is the beginning of knowledge. And that's a good point. Good point. And as a matter of fact, he applied that knowledge right after at the end of, well, I guess you'd say 1 Kings 5. What do you do? That's where he had his first big decision about the two mothers and the one child, I guess. Okay? And what do you do? Split the child. Okay? So it was a good example. You hear that a lot. Now, it says the Book of Proverbs is actually a collection of collections. And we'll find that. It just, it's a maze of, some of them repeat themselves exactly, some don't. There's a little twist on them, but you'll see multiple topics some come up sometimes. And it says here that these sayings, and we'll catch that in Hezekiah's section that his men put together. It was probably about 200 years after David had or Solomon had died. So apparently David's Proverbs, Solomon's Proverbs, were still in circulation, still written, still intact as far as exactly what he said. And they were, I believe, included without error in the words we have here in our book of 31 Proverbs, in that particular section. So Hezekiah's men put it together about 200-250 years after Solomon died. The words of Solomon, Proverbs. Now, I guess you've heard the word proverb, haven't you? Well, I didn't. What about the proverb? I kind of put some, and you'll see those blanks I put up there on the first page. And are these proverbs? Yeah, some of them are proverbs, some are adages, but it kind of, in Proverbs, you kind of have to get your mind right a little bit. As you start reading them, you have to be thinking that way. And so, look at those a minute. Yes. Let me start with you, Lisa. Like the first one. And we'll kind of go around the table. All right? Better to be safe than what?
Sorry.
Okay, that's what the proverb says. Is there an application?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me an application?
We could apply to a lot of things, but I think the first thing that comes to my mind is maybe your speech.
Yes.
Holding back.
That's right. Holding back the tongue, isn't it?
What you said.
Yes. Okay. James tells us about that. Interesting point. What about the next one, Susan?
Strike while the iron is hot.
What's that?
I guess strike while you have the advantage or the...
Yeah, it's a business deal, right?
Yeah.
All right, there's some business application.
Yeah,
it sure is.
Yeah. Proverbs. Well, you have the advantage.
Yeah.
Or the opening.
Opportunity.
That's what I was thinking about.
Is there a spreading of the gospel? Is that kind of an opportunity sometimes? Strike while the iron's hot? Sometimes you don't pass people but once, do you? Maybe you want an opportunity to tell them about truth or lead them in the right direction or set up a good principle for them. Strike while it's hot. Okay, someone comes up to, you know, at work or whatever, and they ask, what about this or that, or it comes up. Strike while it's hot, okay? All right, what's the next one?
It's always darkest before dawn.
Yeah, that fits just right. You sat in the right spot, didn't you? What's that?
So now that's a happy note,
right?
I walk into a room.
Huh? Is that an optimistic kind of thing?
Yes.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Hope.
Hope. Right. Okay. Applied in many different ways.
Fine.
Go ahead, sir.
Never understand the power of. I guess that would be the true meaning of a proverb.
Yeah. I put prayer. I think I was off on that. Okay? I was a little off. But I saw these in the paper about 3 months ago, so I'm going to write those down.
Okay. Have you ever heard never underestimate the power of a woman?
A woman.
That's what a woman
could. Well, see, we've got some more ideas here on that.
No, that's what it is.
Is that kind of like the hand that rocks the cradles? That'd have been a better one, wouldn't it?
See, and I never heard that, but I just put prayer.
I see, the older women talk younger, isn't
it? I've heard that all my life.
Oh, yeah? Now, that's good. That's a good.
Positive thinking.
The power of positive thinking.
That's O'Shuler in California, isn't it?
So. Yeah.
All right. But remember, it's the power of a woman. Yeah. Yeah, only women would remember that one, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Now you know.
Yeah, I know. All right. I'll start with that one. All right. What's the next one? Go ahead.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
What's the application there? Someone give you some benefit.
Or appreciation.
Be grateful for what you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have a hard time at work. Or whatever relationship.
Could be worse.
Could
not have a
word. That's right. All right. You know, that doesn't mean you have to take immoral things or dishonest things, unjust things. But certainly, you be careful of the hand that feeds you.
Children can also disrespect their parents. And, they talk back, they disrespect, mm-hmm. they find fault, and hear their parents do the best they can, to teach them right and to provide for them, but it's not enough, that kind of thing. And they criticize and they...
It's kind of respected.
Fighting.
Okay. What's the next one?
No news is good news.
What's an application of that?
Well, I think it's a blessing because you're not hearing bad news.
Sometimes we don't want to hear bad news, do we?
If you don't hear bad news, it is a blessing.
Yeah, in a sense it is. Now, we don't want to run these things to... Just like in Proverbs, they're general to an extent, they're specific to an extent. Are they always correct exactly? No. Okay? But the idea that there is an application, no news is good news. Oh, that's
anxiety runs rampant in our lives sometimes, and so we go worrying about something before it happens, that doesn't exist yet, but we go looking.
We turn any news no news into bad news, don't we?
Right.
Let's see. You can't teach an old cat new tricks. Go ahead, Lauren.
You already said it.
Yeah.
I just said old cat neutral.
Old cat.
Yeah, but you said the answer to it.
I did.
Yes, you did.
Oh.
That people don't change?
It's difficult to change, isn't it? Okay? It's like a rich man and a poor man. A rich man is hard to change or stay on track. Is there some value to that?
I think this particular proverb is talking about, in my opinion, the older you get, the harder it is to change. Therefore, you should make all of your bad habits go away while you're young, when you are able to do that easier, rather than waiting till you're older.
Go ahead.
If you lie down with dogs, you'll get fleas.
Yeah.
Just
get
like a dog.
As a matter of fact, you lay down, you'll get up with fleas.
Yeah. That's it.
Bad company corrupts good morals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That definitely comes up a lot in Proverbs, especially some in the first chapter. Okay. This idea of associations. Okay. Associations affect young men. Yeah. Difficult, hard influences on your life that hurt you. What about older people? Okay. So, gotta be careful of that. What's the next one?
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's an appearance of evil. Usually there's evil.
Yeah, the indicator. Yeah. I say it's an indicator.
Yeah.
One way or another. We had the other day at Susan's house, the lights have been flickering for a while. And
telling everybody's business.
I know. I think there's going to be a lot of that.
And it's interesting. went out there at night, and between the meter box, which is the meter goes, and the breaker
an
box,
alien
is
glowing.
Yeah, they glowing in the dark. Yeah, crazy, I saw it. And you touch it, burn you. That baby was barking in there. Amazing. All right. So there was a, where there's a glow, there's a fire. All right, sort of, or maybe a fire. So it was interesting. I did some my usual way to go around things and fix things. Over. But I got
he rigged it.
I rigged it. Yeah. All right.
I told John about it.
And there's definitely fire.
I told John, I said, John, you need to come look at this.
It sparked a lot. He was doing a lot of cute things, all right? But I got into business, all right?
Yeah.
So, got the TV back on, mm-hmm. all right? So now, okay, let's...
What's it say?
Okay, a penny saved is a...
penny earned.
All right, what about that in business, or whatever?
Save your money?
Be frugal. Think about what you do in it. Okay? There's save for rainy days, prepare for the future. That kind of like a penny saved, a penny earned, sort of.
But okay. You don't want to take it to the extreme either.
That's
you
right.
You don't want to be so
miserly.
Yes. That, you know, I mean, just can't take it with you.
You're not going to leave any?
Nope. Nothing. You're taking care of Dylan.
not even anything. You're adding
up. All right, what's the next one?
Two's Company, Three's a Crowd.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure, but I guess it you can build stronger ties with two people as opposed to, or with one person as opposed to two. I'm not really sure. Or you don't want to bug somebody, so only have one person over as opposed to.
Okay.
In a marriage, a third person would be a crowd.
That mother-in-law is out there.
Okay. Why always the mother-in-law?
Could be a sister. You never know.
Could be a father.
What any other application for Two's Company, Three's a Crowd? What about communication? It's kind of what I was talking about, the idea to communicate with each other. Or what does third person do sometimes?
Offers their opinion. Well, not wanted.
How many people live
here? Three.
It's just interesting. Okay? Sally, don't put off till tomorrow what you can
do today. You pick that one out for me?
That has application proverbs. And the other word is?
Well, Steve talks all the time that Proverbs, the lazy person is not a person that doesn't do anything, but he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And I think that's what this is talking about.
Someone. Now we'll see more than a few verses in Proverbs, the lazy person, the sluggard, I mean, won't even lift up his bowl to feed himself. Okay? Much less protect himself. So, and that's right, what you can do today. Procrastination, I think. All right? Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. You cry alone, don't you? Okay. There's a certain sadness to that and a loneliness to it.
But among brethren, that's not the case. I mean, there are moments that we are by ourselves, us and God. You know, if we've experienced anything in life much. There's times when it's just you and God. But, you know, yes, there's lots of people around that are willing to laugh with you and spend your money. The prodigal son found that out. But then, you know, when he was down and out, you know, they weren't around anymore. He was left.
I'm gonna make another application. And it has some... It comes up in Proverbs, the idea of friends, how friends treat one another. When are those handful of friends in your entire lifetime, five people say, when are they friends? Do they laugh with you? But what else do they do with you? They don't support, help. Okay, during those times of difficulty, great difficulty. So I think that's an application here too. You have a steadfast friendship. And children should be seen and not heard. Yep, we know that one. Okay? If at first you don't succeed, What? Try again. All right? All right.
What do you think about that children should be seen and not heard? How does that apply to Proverbs and real godliness?
I don't see where it has much application there, no. It's one of those things that's kind of like, you know, you should never invite your mother-in-law over and things like that. I think mother-in-laws are good, okay? Generally, they're real good. I think they're real good. But the children I've seen and not heard is the idea of get the kid out of my sight, put him in front of the TV.
Yeah, not disrespectful. Okay? I mean, yeah. You know, everyone thinks people ought to be respectful.
Mother-in-laws are real good if they're not trying to run your marriage.
And they have to learn that, don't they, sometimes?
That's where you have to teach children when to jump in a conversation and when not to, how to behave in social situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always took that to mean you trained your children not to be interrupting adult conversations.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I think that means that children need to learn when it's an adult situation and they don't need to be there.
Okay.
They need to be trained to do that.
It's kind of like children should be seen and not become a pest or heard, okay? Or not interrupt,
so
or
it's
respect.
Not absolute,
yeah.
It's just.
It's interesting. What's interesting?
Lie down with a dog and get fleas in my sleep.
I guess
it, don't have fleas. I got news for you.
I guess it developed a little bit here that even though these adages and some of them, you know, everyday application, that sort of thing, sometimes we use these in our daily lives, sometimes they come up, we use them. But we can also see that sometimes they may have multiple interpretations, don't we? Sometimes. Okay? And some interpretations feel better than others, or the application feels better than others. Okay? So it's interesting. We'll see some of that. Now, I just threw that in to kind of get you in the mode for this. A proverb, then, is what? You know, just say it's a comparison, similar, resemble. It's an adage, a short, pithy statement. We talked about it. So it helps us in our daily choices. It's something where you can take something that you may have known all the time, but this is put in a short, quick sentence in it. Okay, or a couple of verses. Something we apply. All right? See the idea? All right. Now, in the book of Proverbs, generally, it's interesting the way they put it together. Generally, Proverbs are independent of one another. You may go on a section or a proverb to them, kind of change subjects on you, cinch. And I'll go say hodgepodge because there's an order to it somewhat. But generally, they're somewhat independent of another. And I've got here the idea of a common thread, and we'll develop this a little later. That, like you said a while ago, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we'll develop that in a minute. That's generally an idea that it runs through the entire book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We'll come back to that. And that Proverbs are written in a style unlike most of the Bible. What do you need to know that helps you somewhat if you're doing the Corinthian letter? Or looking at Ezekiel, or whatever. What do you have to know? Customs, don't you, somewhat? It helps. But if you find a proverb, you don't need to know the customs. You don't need to know social and historical data. We just live it day to day. All right? So we'll start next time with different styles proverbs are constructed. One quick thing on that, different style which proverbs are constructed. We don't really have to memorize those or anything. Just to kind of be aware of them as you're looking at different proverbs throughout the book, to kind of see, oh yeah, that kind of, it is similar. It is opposite. It does build on the point. Okay? That kind of thing. Just to be aware of that. All right, thank you all.